Today's daf is Erev and Daf Peites, and we have four lines from the bottom of Daf Peches on Mibes, the two dots. V'chein shnei diyu ta'ois zu kineged zu. Today's daf is being learned as a schus refuah shalema. V'shlomo ben Tzara Aliza, Avadya ben Miriam Leia, Esther bas Bluma, and Devora bas Nechama Freida. Today's daf's also being learned. Le'ilu nishmas Avram ben Yibadol Chaim Toivin Ramosha Chaim. Today's daf was dedicated to Yossi Taub in honor of your anniversary. So the Mishnah on Daf Peches Amud Aleph discussed a chatzer that's p'chusa me'arba amos. And the Mishnah said a chiddush that you're not allowed to take wastewater, pour it out into the chatzer on Shabbos. The reason is because there's a concern that some of the water may end up being in the Rishus HaRabim, and even though you technically didn't violate the Malach of Aitzah, because you didn't pour the water directly into the Rishus HaRabim, you poured it into your Chatzar. From the Chatzar, it just flowed by itself into the Rishus HaRabim. Stating that, the Chachamim said that if the Chatzar is Dalet Amos, it's okay. If it's less than Dalet Amos, it's not okay. What's the difference between if it's Dalet Amos or less than Dalet Amos? So the Gemara brought two reasons, Rabbi, Rab Zera, that was the topic of Daf Peches Samadet. Stating that, the Mishnah said that even if a Chatzar is less than Arba Amos, there is a way to make it work for you to be able to take your wastewater, your shofchim, and pour it into your chatzar. How is that? If you have an uka, if you create a ditch that's machzeke sasayim, that's big enough that it can contain tusa, what's the magic to the number tusa? Because that's the average amount of water that a person uses on any given day. So for Shabbos, the water that you're going to spill, we could assume will be able to fill up this uka. If you do that, then the halacha is that it's going to be okay. Now, pasha, you would think the purpose and the function of the uka is that any water that you're going to spill will never end up going into the Rishus HaRabim because it's going to be absorbed by the uka. But we saw already a little bit in yesterday's daf that that's not necessarily the case, because the halacha is that even if the uka would be full, meaning there would be water there because it rained before Shabbos, for example, still the halacha is you would be allowed to pour your shofchim on Shabbos into your chatzar that's less than Dalet Amos as long as the uka is there. So it would seem that the purpose of the uka isn't simply practically to absorb the water, but if there's an uka there, then we're not worried. If there's no uka there, we are worried what the reason is. So Ayin Rashi, Ayin Barishonim, it would seem that it's more to address a Maris Ayin problem than it is anything else. Either way, the Mishnah said, the very last halacha, that in the event that there was a chatzar, the chatzar was less than Arba Amos, and there were two due to Ois, Zukenegadzu. There were two porches. People lived in the house that opened up to one porch. People lived in the house that opened up into the other porch. The two porches were facing each other. One group made an uka, the other group, miktsasan lo yasa uka. So the Mishnah said the ones that made the uka would be allowed to pour their water into the uka. The ones that did not make an uka would not be allowed to pour any water into the chatzar. So the ones that made the uka, they can pour water into the chatzar. The ones that didn't make an uka, they're not allowed to pour water into the chatzar. Zok to Gemara. What's pshat in this halacha? Amar Rava. Rava said, number one, afilu irvu. This halacha that the Mishnah said, that the ones that didn't make the uka are not allowed to pour any water into the chatzar. That's true. Even if there was an eruve chatzeres. So even if there's an eruve chatzeres between the two diutais, still the halach is the chevra that made the uka, they're allowed to pour water into the chatzar. The ones that didn't make the uka are not allowed to pour water into the chatzar. I'm Rabbaya. So Rabbaya said, my time, what would be pshat in this halacha? Meaning, what would be the svara to say that for whatever reason, because there's two families that open up into this chatzar, so somehow not both families are allowed to pour the water? Which one cannot? The one that didn't make the uka. So Abaye said, let me throw out a possibility. Maybe the reason is because there's too much water. Because we said, what is the shear of an uka? It's sasayin. What's the methodology to sasayin, tusa? It's because that's how much water a person uses. So if there's one family, that's great. But if it's two families, maybe you need more. So maybe the reason is because being that there's two families that live in this chatzar, so you need a bigger uka. So the uka that's machseke sasayim, which is the uka that the Mishnah is talking about, is not going to be big enough. As a result, we have to knock out one of these families. Which one are we going to knock out? It seems reasonable, the one that didn't make it. So the one that made it, they get the rights to it. The ones that didn't, but Abaye said that can't be, because Vatani, we learned in a braisa, we just mentioned this in the introduction, achasli uka. It doesn't matter if the hole was literally an uka, the achasli gistera, or it was some earthenware shard. Bericha, doesn't matter if it's a small swimming pool, varevor, it's a small boat. The point is, as long as you have something that can absorb the water, then the halach is, even if the chatz is less than dalar amas, you're allowed to pour water into the chatz. But here's the punchline that we need. Even if it was filled up already before Shabbos, so the halach is you're allowed to pour water into it on Shabbos. So you see that as long as you have an uka or a brecha or an areva or a gistra, that's machsekes asayim, then the halach is you're allowed to pour water, even if it's not going to absorb all the water. So just like if it rained before Shabbos, the uka works, so the uka should work for two people or for two families, just like it works for one. So Abaye told Rava, I don't understand why the halacha would be that somehow, because there's two families, that's why there's an issue with pouring water into the schatzer and relying on the uka, because we know as long as the uka's there, that in and of itself works. It works more in a symbolic sense than it does in a practical sense. So what would be pshan in the salach? So the Gemara says, now you have to say like this, Amar Rava, Rava said, not afilu irvu, but rather the halacha was said only when there was no erev. Aval irvu, in the event that there was an erev, mutarim, then everything is going to be mutar. Meaning the reason why the ones that didn't make the uka not allowed to pour water into the chatzar is precisely because there was no erev. And because there was no erev, there's an issue. What's the svar in that? So the Gemara, Amar Rav Ashi, Gzeira Tuma Asi Lafuke, Mimani Debatim Lahasom, because we were concerned that maybe these people, if you're going to allow them to pour water into the chatzar, then they may end up carrying. And that's something they're not allowed to do. Why can't they carry into the chatzer? They can't carry into the chatzer because that's already haitzah and there was no way ruvah chatzeres. So it was a gzeira by loy irvu that you may go ahead and carry. That's why it's a problem. If irvu, then there's no point in making gzeira. What's the gzeira? They made a ruvah chatzeres anyways. They're allowed to carry. It's dafkif where it was loy irvu, where you're not allowed to carry. So as a gzeira, the chachamim said, you shouldn't be able to pour anything either. So just two things just to clarify Pashup Shana and the Gemara. Number one, it's mavur that simply pouring water in and of itself wouldn't be an issue. Because if pouring water into the chatzar would be an issue, then you shouldn't be able to do it if it was lo yirvu. It's not a gzeira. Dil ma'asi lafuki mimani debata lahasam. You can't do it because there's no air. So how are you going to pour water? So the Torah says you have to say what these people were doing is they were pouring water not directly into the chatzar. That would be a problem if there's no erev. Nobody could do it. What they were doing was they were pouring water onto their porch. Being they were pouring water onto their porch, and from the porch it was going by itself into the chatzar, so therefore, it's not a problem. And just to come a little full circle, that even though we saw in yesterday's daf, it was very mavur from daf peches, a very intense daf peches, that this halacha is true, that when it comes to Itzad Deiraisa, carrying from a Chatzah to a Rishus Arabim, or from a Rishus Ayachah to a Rishus Arabim, even though the real Isser Deiraisa is to do Akira Rishus Ayachah and Anachan Rishus Arabim, yet the Chachamim extended it, and the Chachamim said, you can't pour something in a Rishus Ayachah if your Kavan is for it to go to a Rishus Arabim. That was the whole Sugya, with Dalad Amas, Pachas Min Dalad Amas. What's your intent? Is your intent for it to remain in the Chatzah, or is your intent for it to go out of the Chatzah? But you see that if your intent is to go out of the Chatzah, it's a problem, but that's only by a real Haitzah. Haitzah Deiraisa. Where you going, Rishus Ayachah, Rishus Arabim? Over here, you're not going, Rishus Ayachah, Rishus Arabim. Over here, you're going from the porch to the Chatzah, even if there's no Erev, it's just Haitzah Derabbanan. Being that it's only Haitzah Derabbanan. And so that in and of itself is not a problem of itself. So to pour the water onto the porch and let it run down into the chatzar is not a problem. What's the problem? A gzeira. Dilma asi lafuke mimani debatu lasa. You're going to pour it directly into the chatzar. That's a problem. But to pour it on your porch and let it go, that's not an issue. The whole issue is a gzeira. The second thing that obviously needs to be addressed is that if we're talking about where there was no Erev in this Chatzar, and you're telling me there's a Gzeira Dilma Asi Lafuke Mimani Debatim Lahasan, so why is it only the ones that didn't make the Uka that have this problem? The ones that made the Uka should have the same problem. Right? What was the Mishnah's Halacha? You have a Chatzar, it's less than Dalad Amis, you're not allowed to pour water unless there's an Uka, you have two porches that both hang over this chatzar. So the halach is, one of them made a nuka, the other didn't make the nuka. The one that made a nuka, yeah, just pour it onto your porch, let it flow down, you have nothing to worry about. There's no eruv chatzeris problem because you're pouring it onto your porch. It's happening in Memela, for itzad rabbanon, that type of issue is not going to be an issue. The ones that didn't
that didn't make the ukkah, they have a problem. Why do they have a problem? Dilma asi lafuke mimani debatil asa. And for these, you don't have the dilma asi lafuke mimani debatil asa. So the Rishonim struggle to understand Pashim Shad in this Gemara. And one of the Mahalchim, the Rishonim say, is that it's mistaber that the ones that made the ukkah probably made it closer to their porch. So if they made it closer to their porch, there's no gzera dilma asi lafuke mimani debatil asa because it's so close to your porch. There's no reason to do it. The ones that didn't make the ukkah probably have it farther from their porch. It's farther from their porch. Over there, it's gzeira. The bottom line is, what would be the chilek between the ones that made the ukkah and the ones that didn't make an ukkah after a short gemara? The chilek is that hacha b'maya skinon, where there was no eriv. The assumption is that the ukkah is closer to the ones that made it, farther from the ones that didn't make it. It's all a gzeira, dil ma'asi, lafukim, imani, debatil asam. To pour water onto your porch, let it flow into the ukkah is not a problem. But to carry it down into the chatzar, or to pour it directly into the chatzar, is very much a problem. So the ones that are that made the ukkah, it's close to them. There's no reason to make such a gzeira. The ones that are far from them, oh, that's already a gzeira. Dilma asi lafukim mani debatil asam. That's why it's an issue. Hadron alach ketzad mishtat tzok de mishnah vayter. This next perek, which is another classic Erevin perek, perek kol gagoyz, and really this perek requires an introduction, but in many ways the introduction to perek kol gagoyz is the first 87 dafin of Masechtas Erevin. So everything we've done for the last few months is very much an intro. This, a lot of the Masechta is going to come together in the next five dafin. Zokta Mishnah, kol gagoyz ha'ir, rishos achas, all the rooftops of all the houses in the city were considered one rishos as it relates to a ruvei chatzeres. Again, what's the basic premise of a ruvei chatzeres? Shlomo HaMelech made a takon that just like you're not allowed to carry from a rishos hayachid to a rishos harabim, from a rishos harabim to a rishos hayachid, or dalet ames b'rishos harabim, just like the chachamim said you're not allowed to carry from a rishos hayachid to a carmelis, from a carmelis to a rishos harabim, you're not allowed to carry dalet ames b'rishos harabim. Addition to all that, you're not allowed to carry from one person's rishos hayachid to another person's rishos hayachid. So Reuven and Shimon are neighbors. They both live in a rishos hayachid. The area between their houses are a rishos hayachid. It doesn't matter. You can't carry from Reuven's house to Shimon's house. Not just that. If Reuven wants to carry from his house to a house that he and Shimon own together, that too would be a problem because the ownership structure is different. The one house, Reuven's house, he owns 100%. The other house, he only owns 50%. This is the basic halacha of a Reuven Chatzeres. What was the Chacham's workaround? Make an Erev, a Reuven Chatzeres, Shtufim Avois. That's the way that you make this work. Meaning, you're not allowed to carry from a house to a house, from a house to a Chatzer, from a Chatzer to a Chatzer, etc., etc., etc. What about a roof? So it's important to realize that a roof once upon a time is very different than what a roof is today. Today a roof is not a place that people usually hang out. But a mall, a roof was like a Chatzer. A gag was very much synonymous with a chatzah. People did work on their roof. That's why the Torah talks about you have to make a makkah. V'asisa makkah ligagecha. And there's many sugis that talk about that a person went up, he took his fruit, it was on the roof, it's there to dry. Right? The gag comes up in many sugis and chas. The reason is because the gag was a place that people actually spent time. Which means that from an Erevin standpoint, a gag is very much like a chatzah. So if Reuven has a house, his gag is like his chatzer. Shimon now has a house. His gag is like his chatzer. Now you would think, if that's the case, that you would not be allowed to carry something from Reuven's gag to Shimon's gag, or from Shimon's gag to Levi's gag. Why? Just you can't carry from one chatzer to another chatzer, from one bias to another bias, so you can't carry from one gag to another gag. Either way, Perek Kol Gagis begins with a chiddush. Kol Gagis. So here, all the rooftops of the city, Rishos Achasein, are viewed as one Rishos, meaning you're allowed to carry from one to the other, but you have to read the fine print. The only thing you have to take into consideration is you have to make sure that roof A is not 10 tfachim shorter or taller than roof B. So if there's a 10 tfachim gap, delta, between the two roofs, that's when you run into a problem. But otherwise, all the gagos are considered rishos achas. The Gemara is going to explain why. Either way, this is the sheet of Rav Meir. The Chacham say, no, kol achad v'echad rishos b'fnei atzmai. What's the difference between a roof and a chatzer? A chatzer, a house, it's all one and the same. So obviously, if Reuven owns one gag and Shimon owns another gag, so we're going to look at them all as independent rishuyas. You can't carry from one to the other without a Reuven chatzer. Rav Shimon Oimer, Rav Shimon's a third sheet. There's a well-known sheet, this Rav Shimon, not the first time we're seeing this. Echad gagos, ve'echad chatzeros. The echad karfifa is rishos achas. Not only are all the roofs considered rishos achas, But all the chatzeris are considered rishos ha'achas. All the karfifos, we know what that is, are considered rishos ha'achas. And better yet, the gag, the chatzer, and the karfif are also all considered rishos ha'achas. What's the tzad ha'shava between a gag, a chatzer, and a karfif? These are all residential areas. They all have dinim of a rishos ha'achid, assuming they have mechitzas, but they're not houses. So it's a chatzer, it's a backyard, it's a front yard, it's a place that's there for decoration, like hukka fladira. The point is that these are all rishuyos ha'achid, but at the same time, they're not so hukka fladira. And even if it's ladira, but it's not ladira on the sense of a regular house. Rav Shimon says they're all considered one big rishos. Which means you don't need to make a roof of chatzeris to carry from a gag to a chatzer, from a chatzer to a karfif. So again, what are the three shittas before the last line of the Mishnah? Rav Meir says all the gagos are one rishos. A gag and a chatzer are different rishuyos, but as it relates to the gagos themselves, all the gagos are one rishos. Chum say no, a gag is like anything else. It's like a house. Kol echad, the echad rishos bifnei atzmei. Rav Shimon says not only are all the gagos one rishos, but gagos, chatzeris, and karfifos all together are also one rishos. But then Rav Shimon says, there's one caveat. The only time this is true, that you're allowed to simply carry from a gag to a gag, or from a gag to a karfif, and incidentally, this next line is true according to Rav Meir as well. Rav Meir that said, kol gag v'so'ir rishos achas, is only true the kelim sheshav salutaychem. It's only the gay kelim that in the beginning of Shabbos were in the chatzah. They were in the gag. They were in the karfif. That's when we say you're allowed to take it from one chatzah to another chatzah, or from a gag to a karfif. But if the kelim were in the house before Shabbos, and then the halach is once it's in a house, it now becomes subject to the laws of Eitzah. The Gemara is going to discuss everything. Zok, the Gemara, Yosef Abaye Barabin, Rab Chini Barabin, Yosef Abaye Gabayu. So Abaye Barabin, Rab Chini Barabin, they're both sitting in the presence of Abaye, the Yasvi, the Kamri. And they were discussing this mission, the first mission in Perek Hol Gagos. And they said like this, Bishlami Rabbanon, I understand the Rabbanon sheet. What did Rabbanon say? A gag is treated like a house. Right? There's no special, unique status to a roof. So they said, I understand the Rabbanan Shita. They hold, Kishem Shed Yurim Chaluk Lamata, Kach Yurim Chaluk Lamayla. A roof takes on the status of a house. It's tuffled to the house. So if Reuven and Shimon's houses are considered separate Rishuyos, L'inyan Erevin, so why should their roofs not be considered separate Rishuyos? So Abaye Barabin, Ruchinir Barabin said, the Racham Shita in the Mishnah is very simple. El Rab Meir, but Rab Meir, my time. What's Pashu Pshan Rameir? Ikasavik Shneim Shun Dur Chalukin Lamat Kach Dur Chalukin Lamaylo is Pshan Rameir that Rameir holds that just like the houses are separate houses Lamata so too they're separate Lamaylo my Rishus Achas saying the why Rameir say it's Rishus Achas then how do you understand Rameir sheet of Ikasavik in Chalukin? Okay, so maybe Rameir holds that he disagrees with this whole premise. Reuven's house and Shimon's house are two independent rishuyos, but the roofs are all considered one. Why? The chol ma'ilam yud rishus achasi. Maybe Rav Meir holds that anything that's above 10 tefachim is considered one big rishus. The whole world above 10 tefachim is looked at as one rishus. Okay, let's say that's Rav Meir shita, but Amiram still didn't understand Shad Rav Meir because they felt that afilu gag gavaya asara v'namuch yud nami. So why Rav Meir throw in a caveat on the Mishnah? He said the only time is true you're allowed to carry from amongst all the roofs. That's only if there's no roof that's more than 10 tefachim different in terms of height. Not 10 tefachim taller, not 10 tefachim shorter. That's when this halacha is going to be true. So if they're all within a 10 tefachim, then the halacha is you're allowed to take from one to the other. So he said, Mamon Shach, I don't understand it. Chum Shita is very clear. But what's Rameir Shita? Does he hold that you look at the roofs as being part of the house? Then the whole Shita's Rameir doesn't start. Then why are called Gagre so here, Rishos Achas? And if he holds that we look at them as being one big happy Rishos, because Kol Lemaimah Miyud, whatever that Tzfar is, we look at it as one big Rishos. So what's this new halacha that if it's more than 10 tefachim in difference in then the halacha is going to be different. So again, Abaye by Rabin, Rabbi Hanib Rabin is sitting and having this discussion. Abu Abaye. So Abaye, he's the Rosh Shiva. See, he overhears this conversation. He turns to him, he said, Shmiel v'chul, ha'dom, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi. Don't you know Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi said? What did he say? Omer Hay Rameir. He said Rameir used to say, right? Omer Rameir is not something Rameir once said. That would be Rameir Omer or Omer Rameir. Omer Hay Rameir. Rameir flaked Zugin. He used to say, Kol Mokoim Sha'atam Moitz Ishtei Rishuyois. Anytime you have two Rishuyois, Vehain Rishus Achas, and they're really one Rishus. So what's an example of that? You have a beam, it's inside a Rishus Hayachid, that's 4 tefachim wide, and it's 10 tefachim tall. In other words, the Amud itself has the dimensions of a Rishus HaYachid. So you have a Rishus HaYachid that's Betoich Rishus HaYachid. So Rameh used to say, Asul L'Katev Olav. They're not allowed to carry something from the Rishus HaYachid itself onto it. You can't put something there. Why? Because he was worried that if you would put something on an Amud that's in a Rishus HaYachid, you may end up putting something on an Amud or a tail, like a pile of something that's in a Rishus HaRabim. That would be a problem. Because a Rishus HaRabim is a Rishus HaRabim. And this same exact Amud with these same dimensions, this tail that would be in a Rishus HaRabim, would suddenly have a din of a Rishus HaYachid. So Rameh used to say a very big chumrah that if you have an amud inside a Rishus HaYachid, even though it's within the Rishus HaYachid, because of a gzeira of tel b'Rishus HaRabim, he said never do something. So Abaye said, Hachanami, he says, Pasha, this is Pshan and Rameh. It's Rameh l'shitasnei. You want to know where Rameh held that even though Kol Gag is in Rishus Achas, but eventually, hey, Gagavoya Yud, you know what his problem was with the Gagavoya Yud? Hachanami, gzeira mishum tel b'Rishus HaRabim. Because he held it was a tel b'Rishus HaRabim. And if it's a tel b'Rishus HaRabim, that's why it's going to be wrong. So really, La'ilam Rameir holds that we don't look at the roof as the house itself. And we don't say, Kishem she de yurim chalukin lamata, kach de yurim chalukin lamayla. We say just the opposite. Even though lamata, they're chalukin, they're separate rishuyas, but lamayla, they're not separate rishuyas. And that's why kol gagas are irishus achas. You don't have to make an erev, as long as the kelim was shavas in the air. What was the question? Why, if it's 10 tfachim taller, then already it's a prav? It's a separate halacha. This is Rameir l'shitasoy, oy mahoy Rameir. You're never allowed to carry. Even in a rishus ayachid, you can't carry from one thing onto something else if it's more than 10 tefachim tall. Okay, so in that same vein, this is a Rameir's gzeira. Rameir would extend it to this halacha. So the Gemara says, "Savim mina afilu machtesh v'afilu gigas." So the Gemara assumed that if Rameir had this new gzeira, they now had to carry from Rishus HaYachid onto an amud that's within the Rishus HaYachid. If that amud has its own dimensions of Rishus HaYachid, it's dalit al dalit and it's 10 tefachim tall. So the assumption amongst Amiram was that that would probably be true, even if it was a machteshes, a mortar, or a barrel, meaning anything that has the dimensions. So Abaya told him, he said, "Nahochi Amar Mar." I'll tell you what I heard. Amar Ameir, like Amar Ameir, Ela Amud VaAmasa Richaim. Hoyel VaAdam Kavei LeHemok. Only something that has a kfiyos, something that doesn't move. But it doesn't move, then you're not going to have this halacha. The Gemara asks one more kach. Very koysel shvein beis chatzeros the kavua. A wall that's between two chatzeros is kavua, right? That's posh. If you have a wall that's between two chatzeros, that's very much kavua. V'amar Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda said, we'll see this more in tomorrow's daf. Kishatimtzel loymar ledivrei Rameir gagin rishus laatzmon chatzeres rishus laatzmon karfifes rishus laatzmon. Rameir's halach in the Mishnah was kol gagis soir rishus achas. Then Rav Shimon got involved in gagos and chatzeres and karfifes. But notice, Rameir only talked about gagos. He didn't talk about chatzeres and karfifes. Rav Yehuda the Amoira in the Gemara on Daf Tzadi is going to say that if you understand Rameir Shita, Kishatimtzel Loimer LeDivrei Rameir, there's no reason Gagin should be different than Chatzeres and Karfifas. And just like all the Gagos here on one Rishos, all the Chatzeres in the city are one Rishos, and all the Karfifas in the city are one Rishos. Okay, what does that have to do with our discussion? How are you getting from one Chatzer to another Chatzer? Chatzeres were always divided by walls. So how are you getting from one Chatzer to another Chatzer? By the way, if it's not divided by a wall, then it's one big Chatzer. So then you don't have to come on to Rameir Shita of Kol Gagasir and Kol Chatzerusir. So it's obviously divided by a wall. If it's divided by a wall, so how are you getting there? Probably you're going to go over the wall. The problem is the wall always is 10 tefachim, right? That's the sheer always of a wall. So it's 10 tefachim tall. So my lab, what do you see from it? The Shoyal Faturi, Derech Koysel. So you see your ladder carry Derech Koysel, Geshmak Akasha. Meaning we're saying that you want to know where a mayor holds, Kol Gagasir Shus Achas. However, it's because a mayor holds that the halachas he's not allowed to carry in a Rishus HaYachid from the Rishus HaYachid onto an amud that's 10 tefachim tall. Why? Gzeirim Mishum Tel B'Rishus HaRabim. So in the same vein, it makes sense. In the world of Kol Gag Yisrael, there are Meir holes, it's really Rishus Achas, but that Gzeirah still applies. Just like you have that Gzeirah in a Rishus HaYachid, you can have that Gzeirah as it relates to Kol Gag Yisrael. But the Gemara's kash is, if you have it by Kol Gag Yisrael, you should have it by Kol Chatzeir Yisrael. Because Kol Chatzeir Yisrael and Kol Gag Yisrael is the same principle. And by Chatzeir Yisrael, you're always going through a hoop of 10 tefachim. How so? Because it's always separated by a koisel, and the koisel is the chayra, 10 tefachim tall. So from the two chatzeros, it's upgefrekt Abaye's pshat in ubavach le'egagavoye yud. I'm rafuna by Yehuda, I'm a rafsheshes. No. Loi lahachtas ulohitze derech psachim. You have no raya. What's the raya? Because Rab Meir said as halacha, even by chatzeros, and by chatzeros, don't you have to go over a wall? So you see, you let it carry in more than 10 tefachim, you let it put on top of the wall. Who said? Maybe we're talking about a wall. True. 10 tefachim, absolutely. But it had a door. It had a pesach. It had a pesach. You walk it through the pesach. Who said you're actually putting it on a platform? Or you're going over a platform that's 10 tefachim? No one says you're doing that. And being that no one says you're doing that, so you have no raya. That Rameyer that said is Allah even by Chatzeres has no bearing on this discussion. So the bottom line is, what's Rameir's Shita? Rameir said, Kol Gagye Soir Rishus Achas. And as we saw, the Gemara just brought a snapshot of what we're going to see in the coming daf, and that is Rav Yehuda da Amar Rishita, who said that it's not only called Gagye Soir, but it's the Chatzeres, it's the Karfifos, all the roofs, all the chatzeros, all the karfifos are all treated as one rishos. Now, Rav Shimon held that all three are one rishos. Rav Meir divided them into classes. All the gagas are one, all the chatzeros are one karfifos. Gagas and chatzeros are not one. It's gagas, it's chatzeros, it's karfifos. They're all individual. What's Pshat Rav Meir? Pshat Rav Meir is, because Rav Meir holds that even though the house itself is an individual residence in Halacha, but the roof is not. Because the roof is always l'mayla me'asara tfachim. That's what a usual mechitza is. It's more than 10 tfachim. And if it's more than 10 tfachim off the ground, the whole world, l'mayla me'asara tfachim, is somehow looked at as one rishos. As it relates to the roof of chatzeres anyways. Stating that, Rav Meir does hold that if you want to carry from one roof to the other roof, and the other roof is more than 10 tfachim higher than this roof, that's a problem. Why? Not because of lundis and kol gagas ha'ir. Not because of svaris of kishem shedirim chaluk l'mata, kach dirim chaluk l'mayla, or maybe not. It's nothing to do with it. It's more related to Oymai Rameh. This is another chumra that Rameh has in the world of Eitzah, where Rameh said, you're not even allowed to carry from a Rishos HaYochid to an Amud that's Gevaya Asara Tvachim, and Dalet by Dalet, that's in that Rishos HaYochid. So if you can't do that, why? Because of a Gzera, a remote Gzera, Mishum Tel Rishos HaRabim. So it makes sense that we'd make a Gzera over here as well. So that is the first sheet in the Mishnah, the sheet of Rameh. V'chachamim oimrim, what did the Chachamim say? Kol echad ve'echad rishos b'fnei atzmai. Every roof is viewed as its own rishos. Zok de gemar it marav, marav said that if you have two roofs that are next to each other, ein metaltalim boy, elo b'dalad amas. The halacha is that if the Mishnah said that each roof is considered a rishos b'fnei atzmai. However, as it relates to the roof itself, you're only allowed to carry within your dalad amas. You can't carry yoisim b'dalad amas. Interesting. So on the roof, not from one roof to another roof, the roof itself, you live in the house, you go upstairs, top floor, you're on the roof, you can't carry more than dalad amas. Shmuel amas, Shmuel said, mutal ta'at ha'kula. That no, you're allowed to carry on the entire roof. So, the Gemara, but mechitzas hanikaros. If there were mechitzas hanikaros that was separating the two roofs, what does it mean, mechitzas hanikaros? Zok Rashi, she'en habate mechubarim. If the houses were not attached to each other, v'yesh aver b'neyem. Rather, there was aver, there was space between the houses. So if you look down, you could see the space between the two houses. But more importantly, we don't care that you can see the space. You can see the mechitzas, you can see the walls of the two respective houses. In that case, there'd be no machloikis. Meaning everybody would agree that you're allowed to carry anywhere you want on the roof. Keep ligi, what's the machlokes? The mechitzas and any karos. In the event that you aren't able to see the mechitzas, what's the machlokes? Rav, I'm a rabbi, I'm a talpun, but you're only allowed to carry dalad amos because loy, I'm not good asik mechitzas. Because we don't say good asik mechitzas. Vishmulam, Shmul says, mutal talta bakuloi, you are allowed to be metalta bakuloi. And the reason is the amrinon, because we say good achas mechitzas, because we say good achas mechitzas, and if you say good achas mechitzas, there's no reason that you won't be able to carry. So what would be the svaru? What's Pashup Shah? Why shouldn't you be able to carry? You have two roofs, they're attached to each other. Why shouldn't I be able to carry from one to the other? So the Gemara is going to get into it a little bit more in Amud Beis. But the Pashup Shah, the high level of why you shouldn't be able to carry is because there's a halacha that if you have a chatzar that's nifratz b'meloyoy l'makam ha'aser, it's exposed on one side to an area that you're not allowed to carry to. The halacha is, you can't even carry on your own chatzah. So you have a chatzah that's surrounded by three mechitzas. Three mechitzas is all the mechitzas you need on a deraisa level. Now, it opens up on the fourth side to a rishos harabim. It opens up into a chatzah, and you didn't make a roof of chatzeres with that chatzah. So this is Erevin 101. If you have a chatzah that's nifrat, it's bin meloy, it's completely exposed on one side, l'makam ha'aser, so then the halacha is not only can't I carry to the makam ha'aser, that's obvious, but I can't even carry in the chatzah itself. Because it's exposed on one side to a makam ha'aser, that disallows me to carry even in my chatzah. Being that the chachamim hold that each roof is kolecha ve'echa rishus b'fnei atzmai, so if you have two rooftops next to each other, said Rav, I can't even carry dalad amos. You know why? Because if I didn't make a roof of chatzeres, which he obviously didn't, because if he made a roof of chatzeres, we're not having this conversation. So, being that he didn't make a roof of chatzeres, so it comes out one gag is opened up to another gag. I can't carry from one to the other. In other words, in the vernacular, it's nifrat b'mloy l'makom aser, so I can't even carry dalad amos. Shmuel says, no, I'm not worried about nifrat b'mloy. I have mechitzas. What do you have mechitzas? What do you mean? There's a wall on the bottom. It's part of a house. Every house has four walls. So I have the walls, says the Gemara. Oh, 1 second. If you could see the walls, there's avra between, then avada, there's walls. Now, by the way, even though the walls doesn't go all the way on top, it doesn't surround the roof. We don't care. That's good achis mechitzas 101. As long as the wall is there, we can use our imagination and we're done. The problem is, if the two houses are attached to each other, so there are no mechitzas on each side, you can't see that wall, there's nowhere outside. If you're inside your house, you could see it. But outside, standing on the roof, you don't see avant. So the question is, could you say good achis mechitzas when the mechitza itself is not nigger? That's the machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Rav said, ein metaltron boy el badal ramis. Why? Lo yomar good achis mechitzas. Why not? Because the mechitzas are not nikaris. Shmuel says, no. You're allowed to carry wherever you want. What? Because we say good achis mechitzas. Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, alam d'shem machlokes. Do we say good achis mechitzas when the mechitzas is not nicker or not? If the mechitzas is nicker, if there was space between, then there's no problem. But where there's no space between, that's where the issue is. When I don't see the mechitza, could I still say good achis mechitzas or not? Talk to Martin. We don't do our mission of the chacham. What did the chacham say? Kolecha de'echa, the shus la'atzmai. All the gagas are considered their own shus. What does it sound like? It sounds like everybody can do whatever they want. So, bishlam l'shmul nicha. Bishlam according to Shmuel that says that we say good achis mechitzas. So, reshus la'atzmai means everyone can carry. Ela l'rav kasha, but according to Rav, it's a kasha. Because according to Rav, it's not a reshus la'atzmai. You can't just do whatever you want. You're not allowed to carry. Yosem yidal adamas. That sounds like reshus la'atzmai. Reshus la'atzmai sounds like I can do my own thing. That's not what Rav is telling me. Rav is saying, no, it's not so simple. I'm very much meshubet to you. I can't carry because of you. I'm Ribei Rav, Mishmei the Rav, so the Yeshiva Rav, they said over in the name of Rav, Shalo Yitalta Beizamiz Begagzeh, Beizamiz Begagzeh. You have to be madchik. You have to say, what does it mean, Rishus La'atzmai? It means it's an independent Rishus. You can't carry from one to the other. But anyhow, if you want to carry Dal and Amiz in one Rishus, that you're allowed to do. But the Gemara says, no, the Kasha. V'amir Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Loza said, Kevina Bebavil, we were in Bavil, Havarmina Bei Rav, Mishmei the, this is what I heard. They say over like this, that Bei Rav, Mishmei the Rav, Amru and the Yeshiva Rav, they say over the name of Rav, Ematalton by Elabat Al Ramas. In the event again, you have two gagas, there's no mechitza, that's snicker, so you're only allowed to carry Dal and Amas, because we look at it as nifritz b'mloy l'makam asa. Behind it, Shmuel Tanu, but Yeshiva of Shmuel, they had a braisa that said, Ein lohen elo gagan, they're only allowed to carry on their roof. My Ein lohen elo gagan, doesn't it sound like Abdash Sharu, little to the Bekule? You can carry throughout the whole roof. So this braisa that the Yeshiva of Shmuel had is a right to Shmuel's in a kasha on Rav. So this is the second kasha the Gemara said. So the Gemara says, what kind of kasha is that? You asked the kasha from the Mishnah. The Mishnah was very mashma like Shmuel, stating that. But we're able to make it work. We're able to say that the Mishnah could work even according to Rav. So Hachanami, as it relates to this Braisa, when it means when this Braisa that the Beis Shmuel had, Ein la melagagon, Ein la melagagon doesn't mean you're allowed to carry anywhere in your roof, but rather what it means is Beis Amis Begagzeh, U Beis Amis Begagzeh. Om Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef, Loi Shmuel Lahashmai. It's amazing how often this comes up, specifically in Masechta Zayirvan. But Rabbi Yosef said, Lo yishmi Allah hashmait, I never heard this halacha. So which halacha? We just had a lot of halachas. We just went an amid and a half of an intense perek, a perek kol gagya. So which halacha did Rabbi Yosef say he never heard? So Rashi said, last wide line on top, Lo yishmi Allah hashmait, the shmur. The name of good achis b'mechitza is gehani she'en in ikaris. Guys, I can't believe there's such a shita shmo. Good achis mechitza is, if the mechitza is not nicker, gloibnish. Meaning Rabbi said, Rav, to me, is much more mistaber. I never heard this halacha of Shmuel. Abaya told Rav Yosef, At Amr Nalon, said, Rebbe, not only did you hear it, we only know it because of you. You're the ones that taught it. You're the one that taught it us. And I'll even tell you the context of which you taught it us. Gag Godel, Asamach Lekaton, there was a big roof that was next to a small roof. Two houses next to each other. They both have roofs. One is bigger than the other one. You're allowed to carry in the bigger one, and you're not allowed to carry in the smaller one. Now, what's Pashim Shah? Why would you be allowed to carry in the bigger one, not be allowed to carry in the smaller one? Again, this is something that we saw a lot about in the beginning of the Masechta. The reason is, if the Gag Gadol opens up into the Gag Katan, by definition, that means the Gag Gadol is wider than the Gag Katan. If the Gag Gadol is wider, that means it's going to have mechitzas on all four sides, the three that it's fully surrounded on. And even the fourth side, where the Gag Gadol meets the Gag Katan, where it meets the Gag Katan, it may be exposed. But at the sides, the Gifufin are going to be there. Because there's something there in that part of the Gag Gadol that's the difference between it and the Gag Katan. The Gag Katan on the side where it meets the Gag Gadol is completely exposed. In English, where the Gag Katan and the Gag Gadol meet each other, If you're looking at it from the standpoint of the Gad Katan, if I'm in the Gad Katan looking towards the Gad Gadol, I have nothing. I'm completely exposed on one side. If I'm looking from the standpoint of the Gad Gadol into the Gad Katan, I'm not completely exposed. I see two side walls, and then I see a big entranceway. That's the way I look at it. Very big difference in Erevin. Because if you're completely exposed, you're Nifritz B'mloy L'makom Aser. If you're not completely exposed, then you're not Nifritz B'mloy L'makom Aser. And as long as that gap is not more than 10 amos, so then we look at it as a Pesach, and that really has four walls. So huge difference. From the Gad Katan standpoint, there's no fourth wall. From the Gad Gadol standpoint, there is a fourth wall. So this was the halacha. Gad Gadol asamach l'katan, Hagadol muter, because it's four walls. V'katan aser, it's only three walls. And the problem is, there was no Eruv Chatzer. It's going according to the Chachamim that you have to make Eruv Chatzer for Kol Gagazer. So you can't carry from one roof to the other. So it's Nifras b'melayay to a makam that it's aser to carry to. As a result, you have a problem. Now, v'amrdan Allah. So Abaye told Rabbi Yosef, I'll tell you what you told us. You said, Amar Rabbi Yudah Mashmut, Rabbi Yudah said in the name of Shmuel, this halach is only true. It's only where people actually spend time on the roof. It's like the roofs that once upon a time were treated like chatzeres. Why? It's in that case, we don't see any mechitza between the Gad Gadol and the Gad Katan. The reason is, because even though really there is a mechitza, right, there's a wall, these houses have walls, you just can't see it, because the houses are attached on one side. But there's a wall, if you're in your house, you would see the wall. But being that people trample over that area, so on the roof, it has no chashivas of a mechitza. But let's say there's no one on top, then the halach is, everybody would be mutter. You know why? Why'd everybody be mutter? What do you mean? If I'm on the Gad Katan, I'm nifritz b'mloy l'makom aser. So how could I be mutter? Oh, because nobody walks there. Who cares if nobody walks there? I'm nifritz b'mloy l'makom aser. Oh, the teretz is because there's a mechitza. You know what the mechitza is? The wall. What do you mean? It doesn't go, oh, because good achas mechitzas. Now, even though we're talking about with two houses over here, we're attached to each other. Still, we say good achas mechitzas. Ah, so you say meres. Shmuel's halacha, that you say good achas mechitzas, even with the mechitzas. It's only if the people trample over it, so then you can't say good achas mechitzas. Because the people are nedresses. But if no one's nedresses, then you say good achas mechitzas. So Abaye told Rabbi Yosef, you never heard Shmuel's halacha. Rabbi, you're the one who told the Shmuel halacha. So Rabbi Yosef fought back. He said, I remember what I told you. This is what I said. I said a whole different caveat. I said over this price, but the fine print was different. Rather, what was it? The time, when is this halacha true? If they both have mechitzas. Like we spoke at earlier. There's mechitzas. The Gadol mystery. The reason the Gad Gadol is mutter is begifufi because it has gifufim. What does it mean? It has gifufim. It's not nifritz b'mloy l'makom aser because it actually has a mechitza. It's just that area where the Gad Gadol and the Gad Katan meet is viewed as a Pesach, but it's not completely exposed. V'katan, however, the smaller chatz is nifritz b'mloy. It is considered nifritz b'mloy. That's why it's avalei mechitza le'azav le'azav. But if there be no mechitza at all, shnei masun, they would both be aser. If they had no mechitza, everything would be aser. Why would everything be aser? Over here, we look at even the Gad Gadol as being nifritz b'mloy l'makom aser. Now, this is really a little bit of a chiddush. Why is a little bit of a chiddush? Rashi speaks this out. Because really, the two side posts, right, the area of mechitza that the Gad Gadol has that the Gad Katan doesn't have, the gifufim, are mechitzas anikaris. If you look down, you're not afraid of heights, you're going to see the mechitza. Where don't you see the mechitza? Where the Gad Gadol and the Gad Katan meet. That's where you don't see the mechitza. But on the gifufim side, you see it. So I have gerachas mechitzas. So what's the problem? There's the gap. The gap is Pesach anyways. So Rashi says that's pashit, that you can't use gerachas mechitzas to create a Pesach. Even though you have gerachas mechitzas, it permeates Erevin and Sukkah and so many sugis and shas. But to use mechitzas al yidei gerachas mechitzta, to create gifufin, to say that the open area is now going to be a Pesach, azoy vaitnish. But either way, that's what Rav Yosef said. Rav Yosef said, no, Abaya, you don't remember right. This is what I said. When I came up with a caveat, I didn't say, loishonu alashiyach, diurin alzeh, v'diurin alzeh, which would suggest that I hold like Shmuel's halacha, that you say, gorachas mechitzas, even when the mechitzas not nika. I was talking about something completely different. I said that the only time it's mut in the Gad Gadol is when there's mechitzas all around the area. Because then I have gifufin, if I have gifufin, so from the Gadol to the cotton side, it's not nifritz b'mloy l'makom aser. But if there's no mechitzas at all, I don't have real gifufim, and even though I have gerachas mechitzas, it's not going to get me gifufim. As well, it's not going to give me a Pesach. It's not going to give me a Pesach, so it's going to come out that it's nifritz b'mloy. But Abaye came right back. Abaye said, Rabbi, v'diyurin amritlan gzogdich. I'm telling you, I remember what you said. You said it's all about diyurin, not about mechitzas, diyurin.
So then Rabbi Yosef said, you know what? If I really said the Urim, if you're right, I'm going to tell you what I probably meant. What I said was like this. I said, the only time this halacha is true. Which halacha? That you're allowed to carry in the gadol, you're not allowed to carry in the katan. That's if the gadol and the katan both had mechitzas. So if everything had mechitzas, then it's like we said, the gadol to the katan is not nifritz b'mloyoy l'makim ha'aser. You have a difuf in Pesach. From the katan to the gadol is nifritz b'mloyoy l'makim ha'aser. Why? Because the gadol but what would be if the gadol had a mechitza, but the imru yaladira ala katan, but the katan did not have a good mechitza, or there was a mechitza, but it wasn't really ladira, it wasn't a real mechitza, something you could do anything about. So then the halacha is afilu katan shari lebnei gadol. Then the gad katan is also going to be mutter for the bnei gadol. So the people that live in the chatzah gadolah can certainly lose the chatzah gadolah. That's easy. It has a mechitza. The people that live in the chatzah katan can't use their gad katan because they don't have a good mechitza. But here's the chiddush. The people that live in the chatzer gedol, or in the gad, in the bigger house that has the bigger roof, they could use even the smaller roof. My time. But what's the reason for that? If the people that live in that house can't use it, why should they be able to use it? Because kimadoli oven mechitza, sluke sliku nafshayo mehacha. Because being that the ones that lived in this wall, they never made a mechitza, so it looks like they were masalik themselves. They're not interested in this area. My next door neighbor, the person I'm attached to, made this big fancy rooftop, and you did nothing over there. So you know what it looks like? You will masalik yourself from it. So over here, even the Chachamim Amoida, that as it relates to Hilchas Eruvah Chatzeres, it's as if they're giving it up to the people that live in the Gad Gadol. And if they're giving it up to people that live in the Gad Gadol, so the Gad Gadol will have it because it's considered all part of their Rishus. So they can go wherever they want. It's all their Rishus. All their Rishus. It's easy. The people that live in the Gad Katan, they can't do anything. How does this work? I gave up my Rishus. So Rashi uses words of Mechila. Now Mechila, these are more Chayshemishpa terms. Like we had Gzeilun yesterday's now in the context of Eruvah Chatzeres. These are more Chayshemishpa terms, but that's what Rashi says. Amar says, is there precedence for such a concept, for such an idea of mechila, where I could do something that can show that I'm like being masalik my rishus? Feiruv chatzeres. Gemara says, yeah. Kehada Amar Rav Nachman asa sulam kavua legagoy huter bechal agagin kulin. If one person made a ladder going up to his roof and the other ones didn't, so somehow he ends up getting all the roofs. We'll see more about this in tomorrow's daf. But the point is that you see, I can do something that somehow shows that I'm the real bailam over here. I'm the real boss, and as a result, that is what Rabbi Yosef was referring to. Again, it's another Gemara where Rabbi Yosef is struggling to remember something, and it's always this Talmud Abaya that's trying to reminding him, and they tried attempt A, and then attempt B, and then finally attempt C. It's very awesome why the Gemara always goes through this exercise. There's clearly something much bigger in the Messiah of Rabbi Yosef and Abaya, because otherwise, why would the Gemara go through this? But the point is, either way, again, today's daf, this is very much a summary. It's a sikum on so many ideas that we saw throughout the Masechta. Exhale. So just to end an intense week of Daf Yomi on a lighter note, so I just thought maybe we'll speak a little bit about this week's Parsha, which is Parshas Vayera. Parshas Vayera is a little lighter than Masechtas Erevin. So at the very end of Parshas Vayera, we have the Parsha of the Akedah, where the Pasuk says, Vayhi achar hadvarim ha'ela, v'alikim nisas Avram. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested Avram. This was the 10th time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested Avram. Vayomer Elov, and Hashem told him, Avram, Vayomer Hineni, Vayomer, and then he told him the unthinkable. Kach no es bincha es yilchidcha asher ha'afto, es yitzchak, v'lech lecha, I want you to go al eretz ha'mayriya, v'aleu shom lo'oil al'ach ed ha'horem asher oimer alecha. David should told Avram Avinu, I want you to bring a carbon. But this carbon shouldn't be a shor, it shouldn't be a kesef, it shouldn't be an ace. I want it to be as bincha, as yochidcha, asher ahavto, as Yitzchak. The pasuk says, Vayashkim Avram baboiker, Vayachvish as chamoyroi, Vayikach es shnei no'or avitoi. Avram Avinu got up early in the morning. Hineini, he was ready to do the ratzon Hashem. He took his chamor, his donkey. He took his two no'orim, and Eliezer Eved Avram, and Yishmael, his son. And he took Yitzchak, and of course the rest is history. The pasuk says, Avram told the Na'arim, he told Yishmael and Eliezer, you remain here together with the donkey. We're going through these psukim for a reason. We're going to continue on. And then we're going to come back. You'll see, we're going to come back. Now, really, Yitzchak wasn't supposed to come back. Of course, Niva v'loyada manesnave, but v'neshtachave v'neshuva aleichem. We know the story of the Akedah. At the very end of the Akedah, after Avram Avinu was Oimer ben Asayin, but the Malach said, "Al tishach yadcha l'anar v'al tasle l'umah." So now Avram and
Yitzchak are coming back. Nishtachavim v'nashuv aleichem, says the Pasuk. Vayoshev Avram el Na'arev. Avram Avinu returned back to the Na'arev. He went back. He told Yishmael and Eliezer, wait for me. He went back to them. Vayokumu, they got up. Vayelchu yachtav, they went together. El Be'er Shava. Vayeshev Avram Be'er Sheva. And Avram Avinu went and he settled in Be'er Sheva. The Medrash Rabba on this Pasuk tells that what happened to Yitzchak? Vayoshev Avram el Na'arev. Avram went back to the Na'arev. Vayakumu vayelchu yachtav, they got together. Who's there? Avram, Yishman el Eliezer. Vayelchu yachtav el Be'er Sheva, and they went to Be'er Sheva. Vayeshev. What happened to Yitzchak? Where's Yitzchak? Yitzchak wasn't killed. So where's Yitzchak? It should have been Vayoshuvu Avram the Yitzchak. Where was Yitzchak? Says the Medrash, Rab Rachya b'shem Rabbanu de Taman Shalchu. Shalchoy etzel shem lilma mimenuta. You want to know where Yitzchak was? Avram Avinu told Yitzchak, you're not coming back with me. You're not going with me to Be'er Sheva. I'm sending you away. Where am I going? You're going to go to learn. Where? In the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever. Right after the chet, after the nesoyin of the Akedah, Avram Avinu sent Yitzchak away. Where did he send him? He sent him to a yeshiva. Mashals, Rab Rachya explained it with a mashal. There was a woman that became very wealthy. She had a business. She used to sew. And by sewing, she became very wealthy. Amra, she said, I became so wealthy from this malacha. I'm going to make sure that it stays in my family. I want this to be a family business. Kach Omer Avram. Avram Avinu said the same thing. He said, Kol Shaboli Yadi, all the success that I had, in the Yalav Bishvim Shasakti B'Toyer of Mitzvahs. Avram Avinu was marveling at the fact that he was able to be Omer in the Nesoyin of Dakeda, whatever the Nesoyin was, all the Svarim Akdoshim, the Niglo, the Nister, but Avram Avinu was able to be Omer on all the Nesoyinists that were represented and embodied under the Nesoyin of Dakeda. And Avram Avinu realized, he made a cheshbon. He said, you know why I was able to do this? It's because I was Isaac and Torah. I want to make sure that Torah becomes my family's business. And he told Yitzchak, you're not coming home with me to Be'er Sheva. You're going to go learn. You're going to go learn in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever. The Ksav Sofer in his Chedushim right here in Parashas Vayera, and he talks about this in greater detail in one of his drushes, in the drushes Ksav Sofer, so he brings that the Yefei Toyar in his Pirish on the Bracious Rabbah asks, he says, I don't understand. Avram Avinu realized after the Akedah that the reason he was able to be Omer ben Asayin was clearly because he had the Schus of Torah. So he felt he wants Yitzchak to learn Torah as well. So what did he do? He sent Yitzchak away. Would he send him to Shem Ve'ever? So Pasha, you would think, why did he send him away? Because he has to go to yeshiva. And Avram Avinu's house wasn't a yeshiva. Avram Avinu didn't have a Svarim Shank. He didn't have a study. He didn't have his own base medrash. Chazal say Avram Avinu was a zaken v'yoyshev v'yeshiva. So if Avram Avinu was a zaken v'yoyshev v'yeshiva, it's a freak thing. So if why did Avram Avinu have to send Yitzchak away? I understand the cheshbon. The cheshbon was he wants it to learn Torah. This is going to be the family business. Look at the Ashiras. I got Avram Avinu said that I was able to be oimed in such an assayin of kachnos binchas yechitcha asher ahavta v'aleu loyla. So he wants Yitzchak to be infused with Torah. Understood. But why do you have to send him away? Avram Avinu's house, you would think, would be a good place to sit and learn. I mean, what could be a better environment than Avram Avinu's house? So the Ksav Sofer says that you have to say that you find an idea. Chazal say, heavy goyle l'makom Torah. There's a concept that a person should be sent away sometimes to learn Torah. Sometimes an out-of-town yeshiva is a good place to go. Why? Because you get away from the distractions at home. You're home, you're with your parents, you're with your siblings. It could be distracting. And inevitably, most people will very often not be able to reach their fullest potential if they're home. And it's for that reason Avram Avinu felt that he wanted Yitzchak to learn Torah. So what is he going to do? He's not going to bring him home. Even though it's Avram. But it's still his house. And because it's house, it's a healthy thing to send them away. That the problem is, because if that's the case, why did he wait until after the Nesoyin of the Akedah to send them away? Avram Avinu understood, it's obvious, that Yitzchak was always supposed to learn Torah. I mean, this wasn't his chiddush, that after the Nesoyin of the Akedah, so it sounds like the chiddush of the Nesoyin of the Akedah, what it did, how the way it moved Avram Avinu was, he says, now I'm going to send him to an out-of-town yeshiva. As if to say, up until now, yeah, just stay with me. Do what? Obviously, he's going to play, but no, he's learning Torah, of course. But there was some change of heart that now I'm going to send you away. I'm sending you to the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever because now I want you to take your learning and in a way where you're going to be able to reach your fullest potential. But and before the Nesoyin of the Akedah, this wasn't something he was shayach to. So the Ksav Sofer says a very, very interesting and a very contemporary yesod. And he says, the truth is that an out-of-town yeshiva, so to speak, is an ideal place for many, many people to learn. But at the same time, it could be a detriment for the wrong bacher. He says, because at the end of the day, if you're out of town, you're away from your family doesn't really know what you're up to. They may not know who your friends are. You may start getting homesick, the child might, and as a result, it may impact him negatively. So of course, for the right boy, for the right bacher, it could be tremendous. But then again, if somebody is not mukhshar to it, and he says for a whole variety of reasons, that could be the case. So he says, then it's not something I would necessarily advise. Don't try this at home, pun intended. Right? This could be not such a good idea. So said the Ksav Sofer, Avraham Avinu was never sure if Yitzchak had the makeup to succeed in an out-of-town yeshiva. And he says, even though he knew he was compromising on some of the upside, but at the same time, it wasn't something he had 100% confidence in. He said, but now he saw who his Yitzchak was. He realized that he had completely underestimated the koyach of Yitzchak. Because Avraham Avinu was oimid in the Nesayin of the Akedah, and Yitzchak was also oimid in the Nesayin of the Akedah. And he realized that Yitzchak was willing to give his life up for the Eivishter. So he says, if he's willing to be a carbon oiler, and he was willing to go be a hava, to give up his life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he'll be able to succeed in a yeshiva where he's going to be away from his family. So it was dafka after the Nesayin of the Akedah that said the Ksav Sofer that Avraham Avinu was confident that my son's going to be successful. But up until that point, he wasn't sure. And he said because he wasn't sure, he wasn't going to roll the dice and he wasn't going to take any chances. I mentioned that this Ksav Sofer is in a Drushas Ksav Sofer. The Drusha is in, if you have the new Drushas Ksav Sofer, so it's Chelek Beis, it's Daf Tav Kuf Nun Aleph, it's Psicha L'Bnei HaYeshiva, Drush Tes. So this was a Psicha shit that the Ksav Sofer gave to the Bnei Yeshiva. I'm not sure what the punchline was. I'm not sure if the Isfir was, if you don't feel this is for you. I mean, this Presburg, I assume, was an out-of-town yeshiva. People flocked from all over Europe to go learn in the great Presburg and yeshiva. So the Isfir, I'm not sure about. Incidentally, he writes at the end, he says that was Meirich, he writes he was Meirich Le'isat Zeirich. So he felt this was a Psicha shit that the Bachram had here. Again, I'm not sure which part of it they had here. But he said he was Meirich Le'isat Zeirich. But the point is that after the Nesayin of the Akedah, Avraham Avinu realized that the reason he was able to be oimid in this Nesayin was because he had achieved a madrega that came through Torah. So he wanted his son to be able to learn Torah. And what was the ultimate learning of Torah? Send him to an out-of-town yeshiva. What do you mean? It's Avraham. Avraham is a zakim v'yoshev yeshiva. But he felt he wanted to send him out of town. Because if he's going to be away from his mishpacha, it's in that context he's going to have the ability to reach his fullest potential. The truth is that this idea in the Ksav Sofer that a person can reach his fullest potential in learning when he's away from his family really traces itself back to a Chassam Sofer. It's a Tshuva's Chassam Sofer. It's a classic Tshuva. It's a Chayshem Mishpat. It's Simen Tes. And this Tshuva was written to Rav Tzvi Hersh Lerin. So who is Rav Tzvi Hersh Lerin? We've mentioned Rav Hersh Lerin a few times in the Daf. Rav Hersh Lerin was a big Askin. He was a banker. He lived in Holland. And he was also a tremendous Talmud Chacham. And it seems that he was very active in the early 19th century, around the time that the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, the old city, was starting to be settled. The Talmidei Agra, and some of the Talmidim of the Chassam Sofer, and then later the Talmidim of the Ksav Sofer, they started settling the land. And there was a tremendous amount of anius there. There was a tremendous amount of poverty. And there were a lot of shadars, a lot of yidden that were coming, Shluchei Derachmana from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz. It wasn't America necessarily, like maybe it is today. But they were going all over the world, different parts, wherever there were large Jewish communities. And they were raising money to bring back to their families, to bring back to the communities. And it started getting a little bit disorganized. And the Gedolim got together and they decided that they have to have a more streamlined system. So they appointed three people that were going to be in charge so that all money that flows from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael was going to go through these three accounts. And the one that oversaw this, the one that presided over this, was Rav Hersh Lerin. See, he was Torah V'Gdula B'Makom Echad. He was a big banker. He was also a big Talmud Chacham. And he had the respect of the Chassam Sofer and the Tshuvas. And it's interesting, if you look out for the name Rav Hersh Lerin, you'll see he comes up in a lot of major Tshuvas. Tshuvas that mamish rocked the Jewish world. So for example, the Chassam Sofer has a Tshuva, his famous Tshuva about the Churvishol. We've spoken about this. We have a whole raid bite on this somewhere. But the Chassam Sofer wrote a Tshuva on the Churvishol. And the Churvishol, who would he write? That you wrote it to Rav Lerin, because there were people that were lobbying, they wanted to build, there's a lot of history associated with the Churvishol, they wanted to build the Churvishol, and they had to go through Rav Hersh Lerin. He had to approve it, and he didn't approve it. So they were appealing by the Chassam Sofer to try to get him, to get Rav Hersh Lerin to come around to allow them to build the Churvishol. I'll give you another example. We mentioned in Perek Rabbi Eliezer de Mila, a tshuva from Rabbi Yehuda Asad. The Shaila of Tshuva Yehuda Yala about Metzitza Bepeh. Another hot button topic in the 19th century. You know who he wrote the Tshuva to? He wrote Lahasar Odoi Nichbad Atzadik. He did Nafshi the Chavivi Rav Tzvi Hersh Lerin, Be'ir Amsterdam. That's who he wrote the Tshuva. So Rav Lerin comes up in a lot of these Tshuvas. Anyway, this Tshuva was written, that's a digression, to Rav Tzvi Hersh Lerin. And Maisa Shaya Kachoy, there was a big veer, a tremendous, tremendous gear that passed away. He had no family. And when he died, he wrote a Tzah. He left the Tzava. And in the Tzava, he said that he wants his money to be spent in ways that's going to be an aliyah, it's going to be a tikkun for his nesham. So one of the things that he outlined was, he said that he wants that they should take the money, put it in a keren, it's going to throw off a return, and the return that it throws off should be used on an annual basis to support a young child. Try to find a kid that's a superstar. He's a prodigy. He said that he shouldn't be younger than 10 years old. He shouldn't be older than 15 years old. So he wanted someone between the ages of 10 and 15. A kid that's oymid l'gdula. And he was willing to give him a real amount of money. He was going to support him until he's 25 years old. Then he was going to help him get married. And he was hoping that this learning, like a Yisachar Zvulun concept, would be a tikkun for his neshama. Now, one of the things that he wrote in his tzava was that ubetnai kofel kam upon him. This is what Rav Lerin wrote. But tonight, kafel kam upon him, she yirchayt nodud v'yumay b'yeshiva chutz l'medina dafke. He wanted him to learn in a yeshiva that's going to be chutz l'medina. This kid has to go away from his family. If he's going to be home together with his family, there's no deal. So one of the tenoyim of this deal was, he should go to an out-of-town yeshiva. Bottom line is, this is the shayla that Rav Lerin sent to the Chsam Sofer. He said that they found somebody after he died, so someone took care of the tzava, and they found someone. This person was the son of a certain rav. They approached him, and they told him, I have a deal, an offer you can't refuse. He said, there's some very, very wealthy person left, died. He left over this tzava. We're putting money into a fund. It's going to throw off a dividend. Your kid's going to be able to live off of it. Here's it. Tonight he has to go to an out-of-town yeshiva. I mean, this rav somewhere in Europe said, how do you turn down a deal like this? So he took his, he won the sweepstakes. So he takes his son and he sent him to an out-of-town yeshiva. Either he goes to this yeshiva. After 2 years, the yeshiva closed down. So there was no yeshiva anymore. Kid comes home together with a chavrusa. Comes home together with the chavrusi. He had met this chavrusa. This chavrusa was a yosim. And he came home together with him. Either way, the father had all this money coming in. And he decided that, you know what, listen, he tried sending him to an out-of-town yeshiva. Obviously, it didn't work out. So he had an idea. Why send him away? Let him stay here better. And by the way, he said, being that my son's not going to be away, he's not going to need as much money. The expenses are going to go down. So if he's going to have less expenses, so he'll be able to take the money and support not only the bacher, but his chavrus as well. And the truth is, it's going to help both of them. But like this, the person that died is getting more bang for his buck because now he's not only supporting one kid, he'd be supporting two kids. But the idea was to keep him close to home, cut the expenses in half. Seems like he didn't have such a great yeshiva to send them to anyways. This was his idea. Either way, the shaila was sent to Rav Tzvi Hersh Lerin. So somehow this got made it to his desk, the proverbial Supreme Court in the Orthodox Jewish world in that time. And he had the shaila. What do you do? And there were a lot of wrinkles to the shaila. Rav Lerin went to his Mara Da'asra, which was the Chsam Sofer, and he forwarded the Shaila over to the Chsam Sofer. So the Chsam Sofer took the Shaila, he broke it up into five different Chosha Mishpat Shailas. The first one is the only one that's Negeyas. The Shaila was, is that at the end of the day, this person wrote in his Sava that he wanted the kid to learn in an out-of-town yeshiva. And if you want him to learn out-of-town yeshiva, perhaps you have no choice. You can't go away from that. If that's what he wanted, that's what he wanted. It's not something you're allowed to tinker with. It's not something you're allowed. It's a kid had a nice father, has a cheshbin, keep him in town, you reduce the expenses. It's very nice. You can't make business geschäften on this person's cheshbin. This is what he wrote in his Sava. Mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis. You have no right to take the money unless you're going to satisfy what it was that he wanted. So this was the first shaila of the Chsam Sofer. This was the first thing. How important is this? Meaning he said this again and again and again. How seriously do we have to take this? This is what he writes. Again, just a few snapshots. Not the tshuva so much. This is the punchline. Pashut yoyser mibeya bekuscha sheyofa asim. So the first thing I want to say is that this person that died, when he wrote in the tzava that this kid that he's going to support should be away from his family, he was doing the right thing. Uminig aviseinu verabiseinu hakadmoinim niheg sheherchiku nodud mibesam laharchik atzma migaguye avoysam umidagas isho ubonim. He says, you find this keseder. He says, people used to always go away from the families. Not that people would get married. Next thing you knew, they went to Kyle for 12 years. But literally, I mean, away from the families. They came back 12 years later. Yom Kippur, you have all the gemaras. They went away for 12 years. And he says, the Chsam Sofer says, you find it even by tzaddikim. He says, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, where the gemara says, that the gemara says, we Matasan like Rebbe, even over Rabbi Yossi, even though Rabbi Yossi was greater than him and he was his Rebbe. But the Gemara says Rebbe had a yeshiva. So Rebbe was known, he was famous for his yeshiva. Yet the Gemara says that Rebbe had a son, Reb Shimon, who got married, and after the chasen, he went away. He left the whole family for 12 years. Why did he leave everybody for 12 years? He could have stayed home. His father has the biggest yeshiva in the world. The Teretz says, because there was an idea. There was a minig aveisenu v'aveisenu ha-kadmoinim she-rechiku nodud mi-beisam la-harchek atzma mi-gaguye avoisem mi-dagas yishu barum. He says, it was always the minig. This is always what Yidin did. Says the Chassam Soif, he talks about this at length, it's pages. But one of the things he says that with this yisoid, you can answer a shver kasha. The Gemara says, everyone knows this Gemara. The Gemara says that Yaakov Avinu was punished where he lost his son Yosef for 22 years. What was the chesed of 22 years? Because he was away from his parents. He wasn't mechabed his parents for 22 years. And because of the 22 years that he didn't do kibud avim, so he lost his son. Yosef was taken away from him. He got him back, but Yosef was taken away from him for 22 years. The Gemara Masechtas Megillah, Tezayinim Abayz, Yitzayinim and Aleph says that if you do the math, you make a chesed. The truth is, Yaakov was away from his parents for more than 22 years. He was away for 36 years. Which means we're off by 14 years. So why was he only punished? Why was he only Yosef for 22 years? He should have lost him for 36 years. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Shmuel bar Marta. You see from here, Godol Talmud Torah, Yosef mekibud avim. Shekol oisin shonim shal Yaakov vina bebeis eivir loy nenesh. But as the 14 years that he was in Beis Shem, but all the other years he was punished for. So it must be that 14 of those years there was no taina on him. You know, 14 years? It was the 14 years that he was in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever. And for the 14 years that he was in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever, he wasn't punished. So the Chassam Sofer says that it always bothered me. How did Chazal know that the 14 years that he wasn't punished for were the 14 years he was in yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever? There was really another 14 years in the 36 years. Yaakov Avinu worked for Rachel and Leah for 14 years. He was spending 14 years trying to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Purim Avu. The mitzvah of Purim Avu is a bigger mitzvah than Kibud Avim. So maybe it was the Purim Avu. Maybe that was the mitzvah. Those 14 years he wasn't punished for. How did Chazal know Gadol Talmud Torah Yosef Mekibud Avim? Maybe it's Gadol Purim Avu Yosef Mekibud Avim. It's very posh. He said Yaakov Avinu could have been Oisek in Purim Avu. He could have worked for a shidduch. He could have done what he had to do and been Mekayim the mitzvah of Kibud Avim b'Vas Achas. The two were not a stira. He could have figured out a way to try to find the shidduch and at the same time honor his parents. Now, he had to run away. But Chassam Sofer says it was a tain on him that he had to run away. He was somehow guilty at it, obviously. Otherwise, he can't understand the Gemara. But the point is, it was Efshel L'Kayim Shneim. Pru Revu was not a stira to Kibud Avim. He said, but to learn in yeshiva for 14 years and be Mekayim Kibud Avim at the same time, that was a stira. That was Efshel L'Kayim Shneim. Avraham Avinu had no choice. I mean, Yaakov Avinu had no choice. He had to run away. He had to go to yeshiva Shem Ve'ever. This was something he had to do. He had no choice. Because he understood if he was going to stay home, it wasn't going to be learning on the same level. So it must be that it's the Gadol Talmud Torah Yosef Mekibud Avim, because there's no svara why you shouldn't be punished for the Purim Avu. Either Rabbi, you should be, if it's Kumtan Oynish for 22 years, Kumtan Oynish for 36 years. Are you a big Isaac of Purim Avu, but you couldn't do it in a way where it's Efshel L'Kayim Shneim? There's a svara by Talmud Torah that there is Efshel L'Kayim Shneim. Why? Because Talmud Torah, if a person is going to be together with his family, it's going to be hard. That's where you find Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Where did Yaakov Avinu learn this from? He learned it from Yitzchak and Avram. It's this Ksav Sofer. This Ksav Sofer that's in the Ksav Sofer over here in Parshas Vayera. It's in the Psichashir, in the Joshua's Ksav Sofer that he said to the Olam. It comes from a Tshuvas Ksav Sofer. L'chayra. The Ksav Sofer didn't shtal tzu, but this is the Yisai. It's this Tshuvas Ksav Sofer in Chayshemish, but Simin Tes. This idea when it comes to learning, a person sometimes has to go away from his family. And that's why you find the Tanoim and the Amiram, even people like someone like Yitzchak who had a father that was a Zakin, V'yoshe B'yeshiva. Yaakovin who had a father, Yitzchak, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, his son, Rab Shimon. That's why there was always this minig where people went away to learn. That was something that was minig aviseinu biyodeinu. This is something that always was. And that's why Avraham Avinu sent Yitzchak away and he didn't bring him home with him. But just to come full circle. So again, after the end of the parsha, Vayoshev Avram el Na'arav. Avram went back to Na'arav. Vayokumu, Vayelchu Yachtav. And they went back to Be'er Sheva. Freit the Medrash, what happened to Yitzchak? Where was Yitzchak? So the Medrash says, you know where Yitzchak was? Sholchai Eitzel Shem Lumay Bimenu Torah. Avram Avinu sent him to Shem to learn Torah. Why did he send him to learn Torah? Mashal. Because Avram Avinu realized the lashon of the medrash is unbelievable. Kach Amar Avram Kol Shabbo Liyadi. This that I was able to be oimed in the Nesayin was Ein Yala B'Shul Shasakti B'Toyra. It was only because I was Oisik in Toyra, and therefore Eini Reitzel Shatazes Mizari La'olam. I want this to be my family business. I want to make sure that my children, everyone in the mishpacha, were always going to be learning Toyra. And that's what did he do? He sent Yitzchak to learn Toyra. So I was thinking, what was this about? What's Pashup Shah? So Avram Avinu realized that the reason he was able to be oimed in Nesayin, he overcame this incredible Nesayin. How did he do it? Right? How did he do it? He did it because he learned Torah. What's the correlation? It's a punch. I was thinking, Torah barasi yitzahara barasi Torah tavon. Right, Torah gives a person an ability to overcome his yitzahara. But I think the pshat is way, way more simple than that. I think the pshat is because the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, when the Mishnah talks about all the milos of Torah, in the beginning of the sixth parak in Pirkei Avos, that kol oisik b'Torah l'shma, zoich l'dvarim harbe. And then the Mishnah goes through all the different things. So one of the things the Mishnah says is, u'megadaltoi u'mereimamtoi al kol ha'maisim. When a person learns Torah, he becomes their hoyben. That's the pshat. He becomes their hoyben. He literally is mirei mamtoi. And a dehoyben of man just sees the world differently. The nesayin of the akedah is an unfathomable nesayin. You go through all the svarim and all different pshatim and the wrinkles and the nuances and the subtleties of the nesayin. It was an incredible nesayin. And the way Avraham Avinu was able to, till today, it's always the schus of the akedah, Rosh Hashanah, the shofar. Right? Till today, we're literally reaping the rewards of the nesayin of the akedah. But for Avram Avinu, he felt that the reason he was able to do it, because he was the hoypen. That's where it comes from. It comes from the hoypenkeit. When a person is the hoypen, he just sees the world differently. And his soyan is viewed differently. Everything in life is viewed differently. And I think that's a big takeaway from the story of the Akedah. Torah isn't just a mitzvah. It's not just chachma. Torah changes a person. It's machkimas pesi. The Gemara says that if a person is hard like a rock, in Evan who nimayach, the Rambam says, "Beveisin shel Talmud Chacham, you never have fighting. Tamid Chachamim amar b'msholim ba'olam. Tamid Chachamim akam vayar menucha kintoyv." But that's this idea. You become a different mitzias. Mirei mamtoy akol ha'maisim. You become a dahoyben mensch. And Avraham Avinu was so dahoyben when he was oimed in the nesayin of the akedah. It was dahoyben kite. I think that's what it was. And where did the dahoyben kite come from? Torah. Mirei mamtoy akol ha'maisim. He said, "If I can send my son to learn Torah and he can become dahoyben, that's what we want. To be dahoyben mensch. To be able to live life on a different level." And I saw the Lutzker Rav in Das Naim L'Torah, right around this pasuk, he makes another dik. He says, you know what else is missing from this pasuk? Someone else missing from the pasuk, right? Let's just contrast the two psukim. Vayomer Avram el Na'arav, Avram told his Na'arav, Shvu lechem poyim achamar. So he told Yishmael, his son, and Eliezer Eved Avram, Varta, Tzazamim mit Da'aizel, right? Waited together with the chamar, Vani vana ner chalkoi. Then the pasuk says, Vayoshev Avram el Na'arav, Avram came back to the Na'arav, Vayokubu vayelcho yach. What happened to the chamar? Right, the chamor is not here. In the first pasuk, Vayashkim Avram Bapoyke Vayachavish as chamor. Vayikach Hashne. The chamor was featured very prominently in the parsha of the Akedah. Right, he's mentioned always. Then all of a sudden, Vayashav Avram al Na'arav, Vayokumu Vayach. Where did the chamor go? Where's the chamor? So the Lutzkerov said, he says, you know where the chamor went? Chazal say that the chamor that Avram Avinu wrote to the Akedah is the chamor that Mashiach is going to be riding when he comes. Mashiach's on Oni V'roichem al chamor. He says, it's going to be that chamor. He says, you want to know where the chamor went? The Eibishter hid the chamor. And the reason the Eibishter hid the chamor, because that chamor was hidden for the Geula Asidah. It was hidden for the Gula Asida. This is the Chamor Sha'asid Lirka of all of Melech HaMashiach. That's what that Chamor is. And that's why the Chamor is not here in the end of Parshas, in the end of Parshas Vayera. Because at the end of Parshas Vayera, after the Schus of the Akedah, after Avram Avinu displayed this Der Hoibenkai, this Schus of the Akedah, which is something that we carry throughout the Golas. So it seems that this Schus has a play in terms of bringing the Geula as well. And after the Schus of the Akedah, now they say, oh, now I need this Chamor. This Chamor is mine. The Olam's going to have to figure out another way to get home. Because this chamar, the chamar wasn't there. It was gone. The Eibishter took the chamar. The Eibishter hid the chamar. It's not very appropriate. You know, we started Masechtas Erevin. We said, Ani, Erevin is Erevin. It's Nida Yevamis, the Zohar HaKadosh that says that in the schos of learning these three hard Masechtas will be Zoycha to Ani V'Roichav al HaChamar as we begin Perek Kol Gagas and we make our crawl towards the end of the Masechta, another intense, intense week. So Taka, in the schos of learning Masechtas Erevin, we should be Zoycha to the Chamar, to the Ani V'Roichav al HaChamar.